The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition, and you are listening to the PVD Cast by John Orwater. Or wait. Orlando? Yes, John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, the PVD MVP himself, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 160. And as it just said, that 160, wow, I'm very proud of that fact. 160 episodes of this beloved podcast. Man, it just clicked in my head. 160. How monumental that is. But hey, nonetheless, before I get into talking a little bit about who my guest is on this episode, I got a couple things I want to talk about. I guess I want to start with a rant. As I have mentioned, I have been commuting back to suburban Youngstown, Ohio, to help Rolando move to Greensboro, North Carolina. And so I was not here. I was not in town last week when the hullabaloo started here in Columbus, Ohio. And of course, I'm referring to Stormy Daniels being arrested at Sirens Gentlemen's Club. Look, I respect the gun and the badge. I think that for the vast majority of the men and women who serve to protect us citizens from bad guys, I respect them and I say thank you. And I know there are a few bad apples in every bunch, and that could be a whole podcast episode in itself. But I think the vast majority of police officers in America are doing the very best that they can to do their jobs. But with that being said, I'm going to be critical of the Columbus Police Department. They were obviously involved in arresting Miss Daniels there last week, I believe on Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. I don't know when the events took place. I don't believe their story that it was a undercover sting, and the way in which the police are kind of spinning it that it was not just a spur of the moment type of thing, that they had planned this out. I don't believe that. I don't believe any of that. It's a goddamn coincidence that on the same night you decide to do this sting operation just happens to be this first night that Stormy Daniels is in town. And look, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Juice Jennings. Ha ha, wink, wink. Anyways, sorry, I had to put in a small indie wrestling joke there. But anyways, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I just think that it's just seems to be a huge coincidence, and I don't believe it. I think that, quite frankly, to be honest with you, Columbus Police, I think you have more important things to do. I mean, for crying out loud, last year we had the highest homicide rate we'd had in a very, very long time. So while I imagine that inappropriate things happen at strip clubs, maybe you should just patrol the streets and try to clean up the crime that is really a big deal and not this petty anti politically motivated bullshit that went down last week. So there you go. I got that off my chest. There's my rant for the episode. But before I talk about the individual that's coming on this episode, I'd like to throw out something else that I discovered here just a couple days ago that is, well, quite frankly, weird, shocking, appalling, entertaining. It's all kinds of things rolled into one. First of all, I'm going to give credit to where credit is due. On Twitter, the influencer himself, Mr. Brian Zane, tweeted out a YouTube link to a wrestling promo that is, as I just described just a few seconds ago, the weirdest, most appalling, most shocking, most entertaining promo that I have ever heard. The wrestler is named Amanda Storm, and I don't know where this comes from in terms of what promotion it is or what the timeline is when it happened, but Amanda Storm cuts this promo that is just bonkers, ladies and gentlemen, and not bonkers as like the Ultimate Warrior bonkers. No. This is just absolute insanity. I mean, to give those listeners an opportunity to understand what I'm getting at here. So a promo is where a wrestler tells you about an upcoming match in an upcoming town or arena. And the idea is to really get over that you, the TV watcher, need to be at that arena to see this match. That it's built upon the idea that, you know, this is going to be the biggest thing you're ever going to see. And, you know, as a good promo, you're not supposed to downgrade your skills nor downgrade the skills of your opponent, and you're supposed to build it up, et cetera, et cetera. This is just insane rambling that is offensive, vulgar, disturbing. I don't know, folks. I just got to say, if you want to shock your system, so to speak, you need to go to YouTube and Google Amanda Storm, because this promo is out of the world. Just, I just can't imagine that any promoter in the world of professional wrestling go, oh yeah, that's a keeper. Yeah, we'll keep that. You know, I hope I hope it was a promo that was put on the editing room floor, never to be actually seen, but yet somebody posted it. That's the only thing I hope that occurred with this promo, but I digress. There's the two little house cleaning items I wanted to throw out here in this introduction. But now let's talk about episode 160. My guest is Mr. Adam Fields. Adam was on the podcast almost 2 years ago, December of 2016, episode 106. And at that time, he was, I believe, on issue 2, I think, of his comic book series, Prowl. Well, he's back to talk more about Prowl. And he's got issue 5 done, and he's starting to work on issue 6. And as you're going to hear, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. He's got some projects for Marvel and Upper Deck doing trading cards. He's doing book covers for an author named E.E. Martin. He's got a lot going on. So it's a great conversation. Adam happened to be in town because he's from Eaton, Ohio, which is out near Dayton. He happened to be in town for the Buckeye Comic Con, which was over in Hilliard, Ohio, which, by the way, I'm just going to throw out a cheap plug there for the Buckeye Comic Con. They're going to have one in November, and it's a great Comic Con. Jeff Harper Productions, he's the promoter, does a really great job. There's not going to be any special guests there. There's not going to be any Hollywood types there. It's just an old-fashioned Comic-Con, man. You go, you look through musty old boxes to try to find single issues, or look through the bin of action figures, or look for graphic novels or soft covers. And, you know, in the hallway, there are independent artists that are given some table space there. And this past weekend, Adam was there, as well as a host of others, about 3 or 4 other folks. And so I rolled on out there to sit down and chat with him. We chatted in the lobby of the hotel, and it's a great conversation. So sit back and enjoy Adam and I talking all about his projects that he's got going on. But before we get to that, let me tell you about who brought you today's episode. And that, of course, is the fine folks at Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, there are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. As we've talked before, they have literally tons of books. And since we talked about adult film star Stormy Daniels, if you need some erotica, they got erotica. That's right, erotica, folks. Anyways, with that being said, all you got to do to download your free audiobook today is to go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to a quick break. On the other side of the break, I sit down with Adam Fields as we talk about his comic book Prowl and all of his other projects. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down here this afternoon with Adam Fields. Adam, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm really good today.
That's good. That's good. I know you've had some health issues. So what's been going on, man?
So about 3 weeks ago, I woke up about 2 o'clock with some side pain, and you know, I've been battling some gallstones here for about a year and putting it off, and the gallbladder decided that it ready to come out. So about 3 weeks ago, we evicted it, and I'm just now, you know, I'm back to almost 100%. Still can't lift too much, but you know, it's not keeping me away from the shows. That's the best part.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I
So now you're healthy, you're 100% and set to go and everything along those lines?
I'm lucky to have my wife. She's over there tearing down. So she's, you know, 1 week actually out of surgery, we went to Akron Canton. I set up and, I wasn't really even supposed to drive, but I drove, made the 4-hour trip up to, it was another Jeff Harper show. I love all his shows.
Yeah, you know, as I said in the intro, we're sitting down here in Hilliard, Ohio at the Buckeye Comic Con. So how was the Comic Con today?
Today's Comic Con was actually very busy. The line actually wrapped almost out to the entrance of the lobby. And they actually opened it up, I'd say, about 5 minutes early.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've noticed I don't know what it is. We just came from Youngstown Comic Con about a week ago, and they opened the doors about 20 minutes early. The security was kind of nervous about how big the line was and getting close to the road. So I don't know what's going on at this point of the month, or if Comic Cons are just getting that popular, but I'm noticing they're having to open them up early because so many people are here.
That's a great problem to have, by the way.
It really is.
For any comic book promoters out there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Youngstown Comic Con real quick. How was it? It was last weekend. How was it?
It was so busy. Because
it was in a pretty big venue, not to interrupt, but I mean, Covelli Center Ohio is a pretty big venue.
It packs it out. So the fact that they had to open the doors early just showed me that, one, Greg boosted the advertising.
Okay.
We were getting pictures, so we're not from up there, but her family is. We were getting pictures of billboards and commercials and just all sorts of, you know, him on the news just promoting it. So he promoted the crap out of it, and we actually saw the return of that. Okay. I mean, opening the doors early and just a flood of people, even though the headliner, he had to cancel, which he promised that he'd be there to make up for this year.
Who was the headliner?
Jim Steranko.
Oh, Steranko!
Yeah, he regretfully had to decline because his airplane, one, got delayed, then they weren't able to guarantee him in for the show. So, you know, he regretfully had to cancel, but is going to be there next year, along with some comic book men and Jason Mewes and possibly Kevin Smith.
Wow!
So next year it's going to be pretty big. And I told him, I said, let me know as soon as I can get my table because I want to get my spot again.
So real quickly, you mentioned her. Is your wife from Youngstown area?
Yeah, my wife, she's from Youngstown.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, I did not know that.
Yeah, we met, you know, two separate ends of Ohio, and I talked her, and she lost the coin flip, and now she had to move down to Dayton.
Man, that's Steranko. If you ever get a chance to meet him.
I've met him one time.
Did you meet him?
Down in Derby City in Kentucky.
Okay, I got to ask you. Did he not make you feel like you were the most important person
Absolutely.
In the world? Yes, he did it to me, and it was, I'm like, wait a minute, dude, I'm here to get something signed by you, and you're making me feel like I'm the king of the world, dude.
He appreciates everything that his fans do, and I believe he was also a magician. Or escape artist or something.
Yeah.
So, like, that fascinated me. Like, I'm like, wait, hold up. You did what? I mean, just the conversation. He's just such an open book and just so charismatic. He's amazing.
It was amazing. It literally, for me, was so amazing that I was like, wait. This is not... What happened here? Because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, he's talking to me and asking me questions about myself and everything. And I'm wait a minute, dude. You're the superstar, not me.
And if you... chances are, if you... run into him again and meet him and remind him of where you were, I'm guaranteed he'll remember something about your conversation.
Okay. Yep. All right. Next time I run into Steranko, I don't know when that's going to be.
I know.
I'll ask him about that. So
next year, Youngstown.
There you go. I'll come and talk to him there. all right. Well, let's talk here because it's been a while since you've been on the PVD cast.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, it was 106, episode number 106. December of 2016.
Wow.
And you were working on Prowl, the comic book, and now you have 5 issues out. But let's go back and real quickly and recap for maybe the new listeners. What's Prowl about?
Oh, my God. Okay, so Prowl is basically, it's a, I sum it up as a vigilante werewolf. So it's about a young guy. His name's Alex Phillips. He's from a small town. He finds this mysterious stone that's on a chain. And he ends up just goofing off, putting it on, and it turns him into a werewolf. And he takes off, he's back to human. So we kind of got rid of all the lore of werewolf. I kind of restarted it from scratch. But so basically he used it to kind of clean up his town. He's He's got, you know, your basic, you know, thieves and drug dealers and gang members and, you know, just the stuff that people deal with day on the day to day. You know, some graffiti and people who were just screwed up the town that just need a little bit of a little nudge in the right direction. So that's what he does. He kind of uses it to put fear in them and become this little urban legend. So, hey, you watch out, you might get attacked. Well, the longer he finds out that the longer he keeps the stone on, he loses control of himself. And that's when he starts questioning if, you know, where did the stone come from? Why do I have these powers? You know, he didn't question himself before. He's like, this is awesome. He's kind of immature. He's like, let's just do this. So that's the whole plot is where did the stone come from and why is it given these powers and what's its origin? And, you know, you're kind of discovering that there's a deep, dark history to the city and to the stone, and that's what we're trying to unearth. And in the story, you know, he's about a year, when you start in issue one, he's about a year into this, so he knows his limits a little bit, but he doesn't find out about the becoming the vicious savage till later on in this story. He kind of finds out the hard way, and I love that issue.
What issue is that?
Issue 4.
Issue 4, okay.
Yeah, so issue 4 is when he kind of loses himself. And so now we're into the questioning stage. So the way I kind of break it down is you intro to him, he starts questioning some stuff, and I'm sort of building out the villains a little bit. So I want you to sort of see the 360, and then when he starts to get back into it, then I want to start dropping little hints of where we're going with the story. And then eventually I'm going to end up dropping a one-shot 64-page graphic novel that is the origin story. We're starting back in the 1800s and going to when he finds the stone and to his first little crusade and all that. So, you know, it's modern time and, you know, technology is all the same and it's just a small town, so yeah.
How many issues do you have planned out before you get to the
graphic novel? I want to say I've got... So the first volume is going to end at 8. So the first arc, and that's when I'll do the trade paperback issue. The second volume, I'd like it to drop after it. But I have a tendency, like I did with issue 5, I might add stuff. So
see, I was gonna ask because on social media you have been a little bit vocal about.
Oh yeah,
Prowl number 5 has been a little problematic for you.
It was okay. One the surgery was kind of it was supposed to be out a while ago.
Yeah, well that's number one is health issues.
I got
right.
That kind of sucked. But I got halfway through, you know, and I script everything out and edit it and everything. But as I was roughing the pages, I realized that there's more to what I want to say in this issue, that before we get to what I want to, there was more, and I didn't want to rush it. The last thing I want to do is rush any story. So what I decided to do is I actually added 4 pages to this one. So there's 4 pages of story, 4 pages of art. And I feel that it delivers a lot more, and that from future books, that's what I'm going to do is just have this page amount. And if I need to add stuff, I'm going to, just for the sake of the story. So, you know, after volume 2, that's when I'd like to start dropping a little bit of the origin, but, you know, it could be a little further out.
So you're starting on 6 here real soon, aren't you?
Yeah, it's already scripted and it's already almost scripted. Started. Yep.
So, if I remember from the last time we talked, you kind of like to take post-it notes and map things out.
I do.
Do you still do that?
I do.
Still doing that?
I do. Now, I did that actually initially for the entire arc.
Okay.
So, you know, that was already mapped out, and I actually have all the way to issue 8 already mapped.
Could you maybe re-explain for the new listeners, like, what do you do with this post-it notes?
So
because
the post-it,
I think this is an ingenious way to map things out.
It's just a great brainstorming session where you just take post-it notes and you write. I always start with the end. You know, this is where I'm working towards, and I write it down, and I put it on the wall. Then I write where the beginning is, and I put that on the wall, and then I look for the climax right in the middle, and I put that on the wall. And then to marry both ends to the climax, I find what happens in the middle. You're basically just building a story tree.
Okay.
So then with the post-it note, the whole reason for post-its, you can actually move them around.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you have multiple storylines, color code them and then sort of see how they interweave. And then you script it out that way. It's just simple stuff like that, you know, I am a visual person. I have to see it laid mm-hmm. out. I can't mm-hmm. just type it out and like, does this work? It's all right. This is when this is happening. This is the beat that we're going to hit and move on.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so still using it.
Oh yeah. if it's not broke, I'm not fixing it. That's well, just going to do it.
For those writers out there or aspiring writers, here's one way to kind of map out a story for you. Yep. So there you have
Absolutely.
It. But you also are a commissioned artist. You've been doing lots of commissions.
Yeah, I've got a full boat right now.
You got a full boat right now? Yep. Recently, have there been any new, unique, unusual ones?
Oh, commission-wise? Yeah. No, it's been kind of straightforward, you know. Venom, draw this. Can you personalize this? Venomize that? I mean, it hasn't been any strange stuff.
Is Venom the hot one now because the movie's coming out pretty soon?
The movie's coming out, and the Donny Cates run is, I think there are 3 issues in right now.
Okay.
At the air of this. And, Venom's storyline has just been blowing up. So everyone loves Venom. And they just did the Venomverse and Venomized the series for the covers. So that's what is hot. And that's fine with me. I'm a symbiote lover. I love Venom, so I take it all. But, the commission-wise, it's just been pretty simple. Now, you know, commissions have sort of almost streamlined them and put a cap on them in the month because I've been getting so many. So, and with traveling at shows and other projects and stuff, it's been kind of hard to keep those up, and I don't want to let some people down. So I limit myself now per month of how many big commissions or smaller commissions. I know how long they take me, so we sort of cap them now per month. So
if you want a commission from Adam Fields, hurry up.
Yeah.
Get your request in now.
Yeah. Soon. If you want for August to get in now because July is booked. It's a lot of fun, and the creativity that these people have are amazing. Like yesterday, I just got one for, he just threw me the book. He goes, I don't care what it costs, put whatever you want on it, make it something wicked. And he said his favorite character is Carnage. And I'm like, of course I'm going to make it look wicked. So, they just never end, and I'm happy about that. It makes me feel like I'm doing something right, and people are wanting my stuff.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you are a big fan of Venom.
Oh yeah.
Are you looking forward to the movie?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I know some people gave it, you know, crap, and you know, when they first showed the trailer and you know, how his face, and I said, you know, that might not be fully rendered. You know, I always give.
I'm going to agree, not to interrupt, but I'm going to agree with you. I think the trailer did not really do justice to the film.
No, because if you notice, they actually leaked from Entertainment Weekly, I believe. Mm-hmm. They leaked a new photo of him, and it looks way cleaner, way smoother, and like the texture just looks better than the trailer. Because if you watch, like, you see like the drips on his face, and then it comes over, like, the drips don't look, it looks like, it was like, this is the first rendering, the first pass. They haven't texturized those. It just looked kind of messy. So,
I got
you. Know, I'm able to forgive anything in trailers because I know that might not, I mean, look at Jurassic World, you know, no spoilers, but the trailer where the T-Rex is roaring is not what you see in theaters. It looks different. They added some smoke and more fire and explosion. I mean, it doesn't compare. So they're not done. Infinity War did it, not going to say anything about that one, but there's a certain scene that you see, and that is not what's in the movie. It is absolutely 100% different. So, you can't take trailers at face value anymore.
You think Tom Hardy is a good choice for that?
I do.
You do?
I do. Okay. I love him in everything he does. I liked his Bane. Fury Road, he was awesome.
Yes, he was great in both those roles. Dunkirk, not so much.
No.
But that movie had some flaws to begin with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll cut him some slack on that one.
Yeah, but, you know, the actor, I mean, his personality, I think, is great. And his size. Like, to me, when they did Spider-Man 3, Topher Grace was not Eddie Brock. He's not.
No.
He's Ed, you know, Ed Foreman's son that he calls dumbass. That's all you see is that 70s show.
And yeah. Right. Right.
I couldn't accept that from the beginning.
No. It was Spider-Man 3 was a terrible, terrible movie.
But you ask my 5-year-old, he loves it.
Oh well, you know, hey,
he's forgivable. He wasn't born in it.
Hey, you know, one thing I've been noticing too, speaking of going back to the commission.
Yeah.
it seems like while you are doing some commissions and that, you're doing a little bit of like live streaming and whatnot. Yeah. What made you think that that would be something that you wanted to pursue?
Loneliness. No. So working in a quiet studio, you know, I do work out of my house most time, and I do have the luxury of going to like a local coffee shop or something to sit and work, but then you always risk people bumping you and all that. So I do stay sort of isolated away from people in my studio, so I like to interact. That's why I enjoy Comic-Con so much. And you know, it's not about selling it and all this. To me, it's about the relationship. It's about talking to people and sort of getting to know them. Almost like what Jim does is, you know, talk and get to know their story. The people, the repeat people that stop by, we know them personally now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, that's amazing. But in the studio, you can't get that feel. I don't have a storefront for people to come in. So using social media, I go live and these people, they love watching it come to life.
So the reception is very positive.
Yeah, and from the folks and sometimes it's watching. Yeah, it's the customer. I ask them, would you like your piece done live? And they say, yeah, I would love to watch it. And I think it's I try not to take it as they don't believe I'm doing it. They may say, you know, is this really you drawing this? Yes, it's me. So they watch it, but they it's me interacting with them, saying, you know, you're gonna watch this. Your piece come to life. Where right now I just ended a series, the Mortal Kombat series.
Just as a real quick, you break them up into different segments. Yeah. Then you're not sitting for 3 hours and doing a drawing for those folks listening at home. There.
Yeah. So for this past month, I've actually just started doing this on the Art of Adam Fields page on Facebook at 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, PM I should say. I go live every night. Or every Wednesday, to do a character that I picked or a commission. It depends on what's slated. I have a set, so if they ever go to my notes on my art page, I have it broke out for per month. Like every Wednesday drawing. Like this Wednesday, I'm doing Supergirl.
Okay.
Last Wednesday, I did Reptile from Mortal Kombat. I wrapped up a three-part Mortal Kombat series. So this one's Supergirl, just because I haven't done a woman in a while, and I figured I'm drawing something separate of, you know, something gross and all that. I figured this would be a nice change, and I end up coloring them eventually and putting them on my print wall. So it's keeping it fresh. They get to see it live, and it's really cool when someone goes, "Oh, I actually watched you do this one," and they actually get to see it, and they're like, "Oh, it looks so much better in person." It's, you know, it's that connection to mm-hmm. them and me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's just a great way to stay connected with them.
Do you shoot it all at once, or do you just do, I'm going to do the whatever? I assume your time limit is like 30 minutes or so.
Actually,
30,
it's 20. About 2 hours.
Is it 2 hours? Yeah, you'll do a live stream for 2 hours?
And I'll do a live stream for 2 hours, and sadly, I have people on there the entire time, which, it's amazing. And what I love is like people start sharing in different comic groups and different commission groups on Facebook, and we'll just get like 30 some people at once, or you know, I think I've had a record of almost 60 at one time.
Okay.
And I don't expect everyone to stay on for 2 hours. If you just pop in, say hi, check it out, come back later, I know your time is more valuable than that, but I always give it that 2 hour window, so it's basically from 9 to 11 that I'm on there, because that's roughly, it's about how long it takes me to do a full character. So I normally do black and white drawings, because like I said, I'll scan them in and do digital color for them.
Right.
And they'll become a print. But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, live stream is just a fun way to stay connected to people.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm glad that the reception's well for that. I mean, 60 people to sit there and watch, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, right? And the thing is, I don't really look at the number on screen, and then I'll glance at it and I'll see a high number, and I almost get like, oh, this many, like, I'll flinch a little bit, like, oh, this many people's watching. Because I don't really talk too much during, unless someone's asking questions, and then we'll get it flowing.
Yeah.
But
you don't narrate while you're doing it?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes?
But not consciously.
Okay.
You know, but I'll talk. You know, if I have like a show coming up, I'll talk about it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'll do that like every 30 minutes or something. I'll just talk, because 30 minutes, I figure somebody new is on here.
Yeah.
Just to recap what we talked about. So, yeah.
So let's talk about a few other projects you got there that's going on. you've worked with E.E. Martin in the past.
I have.
Doing covers for her books.
Yep.
You got a new one now, The Squid Files, right?
Squid Files. Her book one has been out for a couple months, and I actually about ready to color book two's cover.
Okay.
Yeah, just wrapped that up this week.
Can you give a little synopsis of what the book's about?
Yeah,
did E.E. not clue you in? I assume she has to.
She's clued me in a little bit of, like, the characters.
Okay.
Basically, it's a middle school age. It's her first first shot at doing, like, a middle school aged book.
She has
some mature stuff that's geared more towards, like, adults that, you know, that are battling issues and stuff. She has that type. She has some fantasies type with dragons and magic and stuff. And she wanted something that was geared more towards, like, middle school age. So that's what this is. It's a middle school age paranormal book. And it's a group of kids that are paranormal hunters in the book. So they will find, like, book one, I can't remember. They're after shadows that do stuff. Like, she doesn't tell me at all.
Okay.
And I like to be left in the dark because I like to read them too. But
sure.
But the second one, the cover is actually, it's all ice. They're actually looking for Jack Frost.
Oh.
So it's really cool.
That's a challenge, I imagine.
It is.
To draw it out and then to color it so that you get the different hues of white, because you can't have it all white. You gotta have different,
the blues,
textures of it,
the cool colors. I mean, it's awesome. And but she's, she's easy to work with because she's so descriptive in her characters, which up front I did all the characters. There's only four characters that I had to draw in color. So I have a template basically of what their color palette is, what they look like. So whenever I do a cover, it's basically add these characters into a scene. So this scene is they're in the library, and it's a two-story library, and it's got, like, cherry wood finishes everywhere, but it's covered in snow and ice and icicles hanging everywhere. And it's just a fun cover. So
cool.
I can't wait for it to be out. I posted a sneak peek on my page of the pencils, but I haven't posted the inks that I'm not sure if I did or not, but I don't think I did. But yeah, it's really cool.
Can you recap how you met E.E. Martin? Because if I remember correctly, it was just kind of by happy accident, wasn't it?
So I actually knew her before she knew me because I set up at a small Comic-Con when I first got started called ICE, Independent Creator Expo. And I happened to be setting up. It was my second show ever. And I set up and I saw, all the vendors there. And I look over and there's this woman with a dragon head on her table, and I'm like, well, that's unique. This, like I said, my second show, I'm not used to this stuff at this point. I'm just trying to tell people about Prowl's coming and all this, and just to try to get my name out. So see a dragon head, like, I was like, that's kind of cool, but I never talked to her. Well, fast forward a couple months, I end up seeing her at Gym City, and we end up talking on a Saturday. And I noticed the catty corner was an empty table. And one of my friends actually introduced me to Jesse, who runs Gym City, said, hey, that table, can he come set up on, tomorrow? And he goes, yeah, come fill the table. So I did. I brought my stuff, and I filled that spot, and she was across from me. She actually approached me, thumbed through my stuff. She loved my art, and we got to talking, we just kind of really hit it off. I understood her lingo, she understood mine, she appreciated the artwork, and she gave me my first project, was the Warp Ones Hunted cover, and I did that for her. She loved it, and then I did Warp Ones Shattered. So when she does the third Warp Ones, I'll probably be doing the cover to it.
Cool.
So yeah, it was just amazing how there's little networks like this where you see one person and then you run into them everywhere. And that's the fascinating thing about these shows. Some of my best relationship, talking to you and stuff.
Yeah,
we met through Buckeye. You just meet so many people, and you end up just sort of working together, and it becomes like a friendship network and family. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So her and I talk almost daily, and it's funny that you brought her up. We're actually, her and I and my wife are going to be collaborating on a new comic series that we're titled Armor and Ashes. So I'll be the one plotting the story, but I don't want to tell anyone what it's about quite yet.
Okay.
But that's the title. So it's going to be a graphic novel that has six six stories in it. Five stories are leading up to the sixth one. So,
okay.
And I think it's going to be real impactful.
That's cool.
It has no tie into anything that we've ever done. It's something.
So it's totally independent, yep. Totally new, totally, yep. Yeah. Cool,
no
man.
No tie in. So cool. I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
Having her, and it's going to be, the reason I'm bringing her on is I want some pros in it where instead of having the comic art sell it, we're going to have transition pages where she's writing of what's happening.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to get more in-depth, almost like a novel, but you're also getting the art of a comic book.
Gotcha.
And my wife's actually going to be narrating one of the stories. She really feels strongly about one in particular, and she wants to do that one.
Oh, that's
cool,
man.
Absolutely. I would love that. So, you know, the collaboration stuff, it's going to be phenomenal.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you've also worked on a Marvel Upper Deck card project, and you're doing the third one, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually finished the second one and starting the third one. Probably
okay.
Not tonight. kind of tired, but it's at home and it's due August 9th. So
okay.
I'm finding they are really, you know, testing your integrity and in your endurance.
Do you think that's planned?
I'm hoping.
You know, I'm just feeling like that might be the thing that. Hey, you know, let's try out, you know, obviously somebody that they've never, I mean, they've worked with before with the first two series, but, you know, I mean, prior to that, you've never worked for Marvel.
No.
So maybe this is the test here, if this guy can bust this out here, you know.
When I first received the email from Upper Deck about these cards, I thought it was fake.
I
thought this was spam. My wife is actually out of town. I called her. I said, hey, I called my dad. I said, Dad, have you ever heard of Upper Deck? He goes, the card company? I went, apparently you have. So, I said, I'm reading into this. And he goes, no, they're legit. It's because I've never collected cards. So, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, so I read into it. And it was Marvel Premiere was the project. And they wanted me to do 40 cards. And they were going to send me 4 cards as artist proofs to, for me to sell or do whatever I want with. And, so it was a legit thing. So I called her and I freaked out and said, you'll never guess what I'm on. So just the fact that a scout from Upper Deck wants me to do licensed Marvel cards. So these cards have to pass through eyes at headquarters and, mm-hmm. through Upper Deck and through Marvel. That has to be licensed through them. So it's somebody's looking at them. So I sent in all 40 and I got nervous because I hadn't heard anything. And, I was reading on a couple forums that, it takes about 2 months or so to approve all these. So I'm like, man, that's a long time to wait. So as I'm waiting, I got an email and I freaked out because I'm like, it was from Upper Deck again. I said, awesome, maybe these are my approval. No, it was a second project. And I was like, well, apparently they must have liked my first one because I haven't even received approval yet, but they're
right,
giving me
yeah,
my
yeah,
second
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Well, they dragged that second one out. And I had never received the cards, and no one had received the cards. I asked a few people I knew were on it. No one had received them. Then I received another email saying, hey, we would like to bring you on to this other project. It's Marvel Masterpiece. So it's another card series, and they wanted me to do 60 cards. And they wanted me to do, they sent me 6 artist proof cards. And so... I've just wrapped up all 60 of those. I still have the 6 artist proof cards to do. Because what I did, I posted them and said, hey, I got 6 cards. Whoever wants them, first come, first serve. And they sold in a day.
Do they give you a list of the characters that you're doing?
They give me a list of characters not to draw. It's a 5-page list of characters that are not licensed and will be rejected immediately. Sadly, Deadpool's on that list. Gambit. Nightcrawler, Rogue, all Fantastic Four, and Silver Surfer and Doctor Doom. Like I'm like, oh, those are the cool ones. But and
so you get stuck with Morbius.
Yeah,
or...
I tried to to figure out like their licensing thing. Like
GW Bridge.
It's, yeah, but I mean, and they're very strict too about their rules. They like Captain America can't wield a gun. He can't have tattered costumes. Actually, I don't think any of the characters have ripped up costumes. No blood. No, if you draw a weapon, it has to look fake. And if you're drawing a gun, it can't be pointed at the reader. It's just rules,
Yeah.
If you're drawing, my favorite one is if you draw, and this is for anyone who wants to draw and submit to Marvel, you'll impress them with this. If you draw Howard the Duck, he has to have pants and he can't wear blue. Daffy Duck, or Donald Duck. Donald Duck is the character that they're trying to avoid.
But so, yet he can still smoke a cigar, though.
No, and you're not allowed smoking cigars.
Wait, Wolverine's
not allowed doing cigars or any alcohol drinking. Yeah, their rules are strict on these cards.
You know what? I'm outraged by this.
I know.
I mean, I know. Smoking a cigar. You're Howard the Duck nor Wolverine cannot smoke a cigar.
No.
Oh,
I mean, like
these politically correct
these packets are about a quarter inch thick when I receive them, and there's a packet in every project. So, you know, I'm about to wrap up this one. And I'm about to start the next one, which I had to sign an NDA, so I can't say which one it is.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of their bigger sets.
Cool.
So I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Another 40.
I'm just telling you, that's bullshit.
I know.
You cannot have a cigar in Wolverine's mouth. That is just
cigar.
Ridiculous. These politically correct times are just outraging me.
I know. The snowflakes. I know.
All right, I want to talk about what you showed me at Wizard World Columbus last month.
Okay.
You showed Brian and I. You were working on a project, I believe it's called Zombie Office, right?
Yeah, Zombie Office, yeah.
Now, this is an interactive comic book, and it was really, really awesome. Tell the listeners a little bit about what Zombie Office is all about.
So, Zombie Office, I actually got hired to do this off of an Instagram Live, so you can get projects going live. That's another reason why I got addicted to it, but... They hired me to do this book, and they told me the way they described it to me before I seen anything was it's a live action movie video game. So I didn't know what that meant, but what they did was they filmed this entire movie, all sorts of different chapters, all sorts of different scenes and endings, and you know, just cut scenes and stuff, all of it filmed live action with live actors, props, makeup, you know, the whole deal. And their intention was to make this a choose-your-own-adventure type game. So you're watching this movie, and you see a zombie about to attack a woman, or a guy, or whoever. It could even be about to attack you. And the movie will pause, and two options will pop up, and you have to choose what direction to go before time runs out. And you choose, and whatever choice you get will dictate like throughout the movie.
Okay.
So you can watch it numerous times and have a different ending.
Okay.
You can even die. So your movie can be cut short because either you waited too long or you didn't have a special weapon to wield off, which is where the comic book comes in.
Okay.
In the comic book, they have AR technology, so you can scan certain pages. It's like in issue one, there's like a fire extinguisher. So you'll be able to add that fire extinguisher to your inventory, which will open a new cutscene. So as you're, you know, say you need a weapon to wield a zombie, well, if you have this in your inventory, that option will pop up that select it, and you'll be able to use that in which you'll carry your game on or be able to defend somebody, you know, whatever they choose. So it's
this
so
is kind
in-depth.
Of like all-encompassing, like totally interactive. You got the comic book, you got the AR app because it's on the phone. That's that's the thing that you showed us. And then you also have the movie itself. That is really...
It's and the cool thing is everyone, like kids love being able to scan the cover and see a zombie come to life. And
right, yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's unique, but I like the game and the just the replayability of it. And it's something new, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen interactive stuff before, like Choose Your Own Adventures, but nothing integrated with a comic book. So the fact that they're in depth, and I actually saw the demo and the quality of it. If you go into it thinking it's going to be a serious type movie, you're going to be disappointed. It's actually kind of a silly, like you see a zombie come out of a toilet and like the guy's like wrestling with it and he's like, "Can you help me?" You know, it's really fun, but the production of it is phenomenal.
Okay,
I mean and the guy actually is offered. For like bigger cons to hire an actor to come over with me to go promote Zombie Office at the show, like dress like a zombie and pass out flyers or have them pinned to him so that people can rip them off. I mean, the guy is phenomenal.
So maybe you can't answer this question. What was the end goal for that project for Zombie Office? I mean, are they pitching it to Hollywood companies? What are
I don't know. I think he wants it to be his own thing.
Really?
I think he wants it to be 100% him. Because he is a film director out of Spain.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I mean, he may want to land his own next job or the
next
big film. But
right.
to show that he's able to do something like this completely different.
Yeah.
I think that would be my end goal, at least. So I can't speak for him, but yeah, I would want to try to use that to get my foot into Hollywood.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really cool. In fact, I will in the show notes try to find a website for Zombie Office so people, so the listeners can check it out.
They got a Facebook page.
Do they have a Facebook page? There you go. Just go to Facebook.com and search for Zombie Office. It is really, really cool because I was blown away by it. And again, technology, man. Technology nowadays, you know, anything's possible.
And yeah, we're integrating that into our comics as well for Prowl, so you can bring the werewolf to life right off the cover.
Okay.
The one thing that, obviously I don't have a movie or anything like that, I want to go towards getting a VR experience so that you're being chased by Prowl. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Now,
before we can get there, what I want to do is basically have the books almost as a, almost like a DVD or a Blu-ray where you have like special features where you can see like commentary, behind the scenes stuff, some maybe concept art. So you can scan certain pages. If there's a page you like, you scan it. You may see like a behind the scenes of me drawing that page or maybe like a sample script of how that page changed. This is what it looked like. This is what it was. You know, now you see the final.
Yeah.
So there's just little things that I want to start delivering in comics that I haven't seen in really anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just a big mark that being missed.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. All right, so future appearances. Where are you going to be?
So
where people can stop by and say, hey.
So this weekend, probably be too late, but I'm going to go ahead and plug it anyway. Our hometown is having their second annual Comic-Con.
Okay.
It's at the Preble County Library.
Is that? That's coming up the 21st. Or the 20th. Okay.
21st. I'm sorry. 21st is Saturday.
Saturday.
So yeah, okay. 21st on Saturday, they're doing that. So my second one, they had no idea when they did it last year how big it was going to be. They were blown away by it. They lost count over 300 people. So they wanted me to come back, and I actually did the event poster for them. And then the next day, on the 22nd, I'll be in Fairborn at the Ohio Toy and Comics Show. I did the event poster for that, which Master Daniel Messina, who is the motion capture artist on Mortal Kombat, he did all the ninjas and Johnny Cage.
Uh-huh.
So if anyone ever sees the side of an arcade, like the classic Mortal Kombat arcade, Johnny Cage kicking, that's Daniel Messina. He's actually going to be in attendance.
Really?
Yeah. So
is he from around the area?
He's from Chicago.
Is he from Chicago?
Yeah, he's coming down from Chicago. He's excited and he loves. Like I followed him on Facebook and he's still in the scene. He loves it. Loves to interact with fans. He's going to be doing some demos, like doing Scorpion's chain throw. Like it's going to be fascinating to see my childhood right in front of me. So I'll be there. It's starting to slow down. July was actually my busy month. So we have what else is there? Cincinnati is my next big one. I'm in September.
Okay.
August, I don't. Jim and Dan Comic and Toy Show over in Dayton.
Now you always are at Jim and Dan shows.
At Jim and
Dan
shows.
They run what, two or three a year?
Four.
Four a year. Okay.
Four every quarter. So
every quarter.
February, June, August, and then there'll be one in December.
Well,
there you go. Yep, so August 3rd, I believe. I don't have my phone. I do have my phone on me. Look at me that. But, Jim and Dan's are always good ones. And, and then I believe the next one after that, let me pull up my website, midnight27studios.com. That's a shameless plug.
I was just going to get to the shameless plug anyways, Adam, so you beat me to it. I was just going to say, is there a place where folks can find out where you're at in case they forgot? From the time that they listen to this episode to the time that the con rolls around.
Yeah, so my website is midnight27studios.com. I have a news and events tab, and you have to go to the second page to get to my show schedule. Let's see here. So, yep, Jim and Dan's August 5th. I misspoke. And then Cincinnati. And then I'll be at Coil Con, which is a G.I. Joe convention in Fairborn in October. And then I'm going to be probably on a little break until December. So now it's the slowdown period, which means I get a lot of stuff done.
I was going to say, slowing down, what are you talking about? You got a lot of projects on your plate,
Show schedule slows down, and when your productivity goes up, that's what I'm finding.
Gotcha. Art of Adam Fields on Facebook.
Yep, the Art of Adam Fields on Facebook, Adam Fields 127 on Instagram and Twitter, and those are the main ones that I follow and do stuff. So
there you go. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you
again, man. So you know, the fans can't see this, but we're in a pretty swanky place.
We are.
We're like in the office of the Marriott Courtyard Hotel, like not the actual office, like where things go on, but like the office that the guests can use.
Yeah,
you have nice chairs and. Very, very
no
nice.
One came in here. Like the last time, I think we did it in here. Like, you heard like planks. People were dropping like backboards and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's good thinking that we should have looked for a better place last time. But see, live and learn, man. Live and learn.
Now we know this is our spot.
This is the spot right here. So, again, Adam, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, I'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, after this quick break to wrap up the episode. So, if you will, please stick around.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Mr. Adam Fields. As you heard, he's got a lot of projects on his plate, but his baby Prowl, the book that he is most proud of, is definitely a great read, a very interesting take on the mythology of werewolves. So if you see Adam out at a comic book convention, go over to his table, say hello, pick up issue 1, issue 2, issue 3, issue 4, issue 5, or even issue 6 if it's out by the time that you run into Adam. Pick up all of them, man, over at his table if you see him at a comic book convention. He will appreciate it, and I thank Adam for coming on the PVD cast to talk about all the stuff that we just talked about. So, with that being said, I need to let you know where you can get this podcast, and probably the easiest way to get this podcast is simply just to go to the online home of yours truly, and that is pvdcast.com. Of course, you can also find this podcast at a variety of other places, such as iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search for it. When you find it, tell some folks about it after you enjoy it. Let them know exactly what to expect with the PVD cast, to rate, subscribe, all of that stuff. Just do all the things. That's it. There you go. Do all of the things for me. But nonetheless, if you want to get in touch with me, let me tell you how you can do that. You can shoot me an email at johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP, or you can leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVD cast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And before I wrap this up, just want to remind you, by the way, that my good friends at Ohio Championship Wrestling have some great wrestling action going on. July 20th, they're in Canton, Ohio at the Buzz Bin. And then the following day is, of course, Mogador Summerfest. That would be July 21st. For all the details, just go over to the Facebook page of Ohio Championship Wrestling. Or you can visit ocwrestling.net. Want to throw out some love there to OCW. Just saw some of the guys this past weekend at New Ohio Wrestling, and just want to throw that out there. So check out some great wrestling action if you get a chance with OCW. So for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.